Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash. This is Hallis Intrigue, the Chicago Bears podcast. We're at Potsy. Coming up, we will talk about what we did see and didn't see here at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis and what the Bears may do in their final preseason game. All of that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
Potsy 24-17 in an otherwise fairly meaningless preseason game. Matt Eberflus ensured that it would be such when he sat every starter except for Jack Sanborn, I guess. The Colts.
And Tyreek Stevenson.
And Tyreek Stevenson, if you want to list the starters in nickel formation.
Well, yes. No, he's a base quarterback. He's a base defense quarterback.
This is not how we want to start the podcast, but I think right. if you had two corners on the field, would you move Kyler Gordon outside instead of?
No, Kyler Gordon. That's the whole theme of preseason is that he's a dedicated slot corner. He does not play outside. Okay. He wants to play outside, right. But he doesn't.
Okay, that notwithstanding, Bears play 1.5 starters today. The Colts, the Bears had announced that on Thursday night. The Colts. Very last second today, decide to do more or less the same thing. Anthony Richardson doesn't play. Most of their starters don't play. So what you've got, Potsy, is second, third, and fourth stringers going up against each other. Not a whole lot of guys on the field today are going to be difference makers for the Bears this season, but a couple of them were. And I want to talk about Tyreek Stevenson, who you just brought up, and also Roschon Johnson, and I want to do it in order. Tyreek Stevenson had an interception go through his hands. He had a late hit. I think his second personal foul in 2 weeks, I believe. But he also looks completely comfortable in his role as a starting outside corner. What do you make of his second showing in the NFL?
Yeah, nothing's defining for him. He's a really talented guy. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to make bigger mistakes in the games, and he's going to learn more from them and get better. I'm pretty convinced of that. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty clear why they really pinpointed him in the draft. Mm-hmm. And
traded up to get him.
Yes, when they valued their draft capital, like, you know, that was the only trade they made that went up. Everything else was down. So they really wanted him for this defense, and I think they feel good about it. And I don't even think a game like this doesn't tell me a whole lot because it's backups against backups, and the Bears had some really good rookies out there, but either good or bad, I don't think there's too much you can say from a game like this where it's just, I got to tell you, Pat, the intensity, just the whole aura of preseason football has really dropped a lot. It's just not the same as it used to be, and I think Eberflus' attitude is exactly that. It reflects that. And so anyway, so I guess the question is, you know, what do we see out there? I guess what I'm saying is I don't make any grand evaluations out of anything I saw. I don't think this changed anything. I guess the only interesting thing was the backup quarterback situation, mm-hmm. which came up afterwards. And I think it's really interesting because how can you play a Division II quarterback? How can you put a Division II quarterback as even your second or even third quarterback? I'm talking about Tyson Bagent. But yet, I don't think I've ever seen it more clear where one guy has a much better comfort level with the offense and running the NFL offense than Bagent over P.J. Walker, who might, you know, who's obviously proven in the league, but just hasn't looked it so far. And anyway, that was the one thing I got out of this was that there might be some intrigue as far as that goes. I think P.J. Walker is their guy, and I think he will be because of his experience. But that was the one thing. Nothing else I saw. Either really good or bad, really made that much of an impression on me as far as being defining and really being something you could say, this happened that I think is going to be the same in the regular season.
It's funny you bring that up, Potsy, because that's what I wrote about in the Sun-Times. P.J. Walker's bad performance for the second week in a row. This time he was 1-for-6, got sacked twice, threw for 6 yards, and a passer rating of 39.6. Not good stuff. He was even worse in week one. I think his pass rating was in the 18s or 19s, something like that. And you combine that with the fact that, at least to me, on the backfields at Hallis Hall, he hasn't looked particularly good. And you begin to wonder whether the Bears have the worst backup quarterback in the NFL. Now, if Justin Fields gets hurt, they're probably screwed either way, to be honest. But, you know, there is value to giving your quarterback a support system, and that support system is typically a veteran. Now, he's making $4 million over 2 years. About half of that's guaranteed. To me, that more than anything else, even though the Bears can afford it, I think that tells you he's going to be the second stringer. But he is not playing better than the third or fourth stringer, and I'm not sure it's close.
Yeah, I think the experience is the biggest factor. I think the big fear would be if they kept who I think has been Bajan, who's been the best at least through games that are not really like I just got through saying these games really don't tell you a whole lot, but so it's hard to make even draw that conclusion. But, yeah, I just think experience, P.J. Walker's experience, you know, we joke about this, but, you know, he beat Tom Brady last year. He outplayed Tom Brady in real situation. He's got a bigger skin on the wall than anybody, than maybe even Justin Fields.
Yeah, probably.
If you look at it, that game last week, Carolina against Tampa Bay. So, I think just based on that kind of thing, the experience, he will be the backup quarterback unless something comes up in the waiver wire.
Right.
But anyway, it's an interesting thing because if you did look, if you just went in blind, not knowing who was who, you'd say that Bajan is the best backup quarterback on this team.
Probably.
Right? Not knowing anyone, Division II, or beat Tom Brady. If you took all that away, didn't just went in blind and didn't know, you would say that Bajan was the best quarterback.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunately, I just don't think that's the way it works.
Bajan's a rookie from Shepherd's University, a Division II program. As you said, no quarterback in the history of the NCAA at any level has ever thrown more touchdown passes. Nobody in D2 has ever thrown for more passing yards. This guy is super accomplished. He's 6'3". Throws a little sidearm, so he's Joe Flacco-ish if you're trying to envision him in your
Patrick
mind.
Patrick Mahomes throw sidearm, it's a revelation, Pat. I mean, come on. Let's put it this way. He looks comfortable. He looks comfortable. He's not overwhelmed by the moment. He looks comfortable in this offense. He looks comfortable at this level. So he's got that going for him. But, I mean, we have no idea how they're analyzing it, and I'm pretty sure, like I said, that they still see P.J. Walker as their guy. Although, didn't Eberflus kind of open the door a little bit?
I asked him the question, Potsy, and I'll tell you what he said. Is second string open? I think everything's open right now. I really do. I think if you have a closed mind, if somebody's rising or executing, you never put a ceiling on any player. That might be coach speak, Potsy. That very well could be coach speak. But he could have shut it down pretty easily by saying, no, P.J.'s our second stringer. Get out of here. And he didn't do that. He also reiterated that, remember, they are the team that plays their young guys. They did it all last season, and that this falls in line with that. Now, there was a question asked of him about the value of having a veteran there to mentor your starter. And he said, yeah.
They don't have that.
Well, I mean, they have P.J. Walker.
P.J. Walker's not a mentor. Sorry. You got to be a lot more accomplished in the league to be a mentor. I would push back on that. No matter whose narrative that is. I don't buy that at all.
But whether it's Peterman or P.J. Walker, you wouldn't argue that they have more to share with Justin Fields than Tyson Bajan.
Of course they do. Right. But that's the Nick Foles role, you know, the guy who's been there. You know, I mean, that's, you know. Anyway. I don't buy that. I don't buy that the mentorship is any kind of a hook for P.J. Walker. You want a veteran there because he's done it before.
Yep.
A guy who's proven. That's why you want the veteran. I don't think Fields has that much to learn from, no offense to P.J. Walker, but from P.J. Walker, he's just not as accomplished. Mm-hmm. He's just older and he's been in the league, but who's played more games?
Justin Fields.
Started more games in the league.
Justin Fields, I wonder.
I think Justin Fields could probably help P.J. Walker.
But I think
maybe he's a mentor.
I think the question is if Justin Fields is the one on the field and if you need somebody to stand on the sideline and put a bug in your quarterback's ear as he walks off saying something, you know, saying, I identified something about the defense. You know, you need to do X, Y, or Z. I think P.J. Walker's probably going to be better at it than the rookie from the D2 rookie.
It's not so much.
So Eberflus said, essentially, having somebody to help your – having a veteran to help out your starter, that can be helpful too. So I don't know whether he's bluffing here. But the fact that we even have to have the conversation about is the guy we signed for $4 million over 2 years better than the guy we got for free as an undrafted free agent, more or less?
Yeah.
The fact that that's even a debate is the problem.
Yeah. The team that has to put a a twist on an old axiom in the NFL. The team that has a debate about the backup quarterback in the preseason doesn't have a backup quarterback.
Roshan Johnson played again. He didn't get the 12 carries that he got in week one. He got 7 this time for 32 yards. Had a long of 14. Potsy, this is the kind of game he should do well in. He's got a better pedigree and is probably going to be a better player than most of these guys out here. But I thought he was one of the guys that you saw suit up today that is going to impact this team.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's not much you can say from what he did, but it's better than not doing anything. So I think he is in the running. I think the way when they're playing Deontay Foreman in this game, I think that tells you that thing is wide open. And so I think they're going to – everything I've – from based on my whole experience, from what I've seen out there, they're going to give this kid every chance possible to be a factor in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And even Roshan admits he's not there, but he's got a long way to go. But he is encouraged by it, and he's, you know, I think he feels like that he's a contender as well.
You're reading my mind, Potsy. Khalil Herbert starts last week, scores a long touchdown. Deontay Foreman goes in the middle of the second quarter. That shows a pretty big gap between what they think of Herbert and what they think of Foreman. Today, or Saturday, depending on what time you're listening, Herbert doesn't play at all, and Foreman plays a game in which, if you look at the list of all the Bears players, Foreman is more accomplished and older than most.
Yes.
Does that mean anything, or do they just need a guy who can carry the ball?
No, I think that means something. Like I said, I think it means that it's a wide open competition, and they don't have a they're opening the door is open for any running back to step through it, and Roshan Johnson is somebody they like a lot, and like I said, will give every opportunity to prove he at least deserves to be in a tandem with Khalil Herbert. I don't know, Roshan Johnson seems like he's a compliment to almost anybody.
Yep.
And so I think that's a factor as well. I keep an eye on it. This offense is designed for any running back, just like the Green Bay offense, for any running back to be good in it multiple running backs to be good in it. So, so stay tuned. I think the Bears are just kind of hoping that they have, you know, they have the right guys. But I think it's open.
I want to ask you 3 quick questions. I want you to give me quick answers. In week 1, who has the most carries for the Bears?
Herbert.
In week 8, who has the most carries for the Bears?
I would say Herbert.
In week 17, who has the most carries for the Bears?
I would say Herbert
as well. Okay, across the board? Okay.
Yeah, I think they're giving Roshan Johnson a bigger load. You know, 12 carries last week, 7 in one series this week. I think that's good. But I still don't see him as a kind of a bell cow kind of guy who's going to get the majority of the carries if their offense is as good as it is. If their offense is as good as it is, I still think Khalil Herbert's going to be their most productive running back.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, he's got speed.
And, yeah, he's the home run hitter out of the group. Absolutely.
And so I think he will. So I know. I guess I'm supposed to answer Roshan Johnson at some point. Sorry, I didn't play a lot.
But
I just feel he's. I just feel they're going to be in tandem.
But there's a reason I phrased it the way I did, though. I think Herbert probably has
more yards.
A pitch count. Maybe not pitch count. Maybe that's not the right word. But there's probably a limit on how many times you can run Herbert.
Right.
I'm not sure that limit exists for Roshan. Yeah. Which is why I wasn't asking rushing yards. I was asking number of carries.
Yeah, you're right. From a carry standpoint, it's very possible that Roshan could be, if things progress as they seem to be progressing, that he could be the guy he could be that guy with the more of the hardworking carry guy, because he's definitely a rhythm guy. It's interesting. He comes from Texas where he didn't have very many carries at all relative to most.
He's playing behind the best college running back.
So now he'll be one of those guys who might get more carries per game in the NFL at some point than he did in college. Like Patrick Williams starting for the Bulls when he couldn't even start at Florida State.
We talked, Jason and I talked in the most recent podcast episode about Matt Eberflus deciding to rest select starters, Potsy. And as it turned out, select starters meant...
You selected them all.
Yeah, it meant all of them. Without... I think we know your views on just kind of the watering down of preseason games.
Yeah.
And maybe not the preseason writ large, but certainly the preseason games. Is there any... Do you have any doubts about Matt Eberflus's coaching acumen and that he would make a decision like this? Or do you more bemoan the fact that this is just kind of what is done now by a lot of teams?
Yeah. No, I think it's the latter. I think this is just the way it's going. This is the evolution of preseason football, which is, could cease to exist, in a few years the way it's going, because it's just not very productive.
Well,
I thought Eberflus made a good, his enthusiasm for the practices. I think a lot of coaches agree with him that they get more out of practices that don't put their quarterback at risk than they do out of the games. And I think that's where the issue is. The only question is when you have a developing team like the Bears are, it would just seem that game speed, preseason game speed would be a better preparation.
It has
for the regular season.
It has more value than not doing it.
Yeah, it would seem that way. But again, now we're in a situation, and we talked about this earlier amongst ourselves, that about when Matt Nagy only played Trubisky and the starters three snaps?
Something like that. Yeah. Yep.
I think it was just three snaps in 2019, and even Nagy said, I won't do that again. And then COVID hit, and he didn't have the opportunity to do it. But my point is, things have changed so much now that I don't think that's as harmful now. Mm-hmm. If Fields only ends up playing seven snaps or whatever he got in the first, I don't think that's as harmful now as it would have been for Nagy with Trubisky in 2019, just because the whole league is kind of in the same boat.
Yep.
And I realize that I know Jordan Love played tonight, Saturday night, for the Packers, and other teams aren't playing their quarterbacks, but not a whole lot. It's just the preseason, like I said. I know you don't want me to say this again, but. It's just so watered down that I don't think. I guess the question. My point is, I don't think the harm is going to be as great. I think Eberflus has a pretty good handle on on being a coach, on the coaching aspect. Right. I have to say, I'm even for a guy who's 3-14 career. I think the idea of being a head coach and running things and doing. I think he's pretty good at that. I think he's going to be pretty good at that. So I'm not really questioning that. At the time, it was different for Nagy. Mm-hmm. It seemed ill-advised.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like I said, the dynamic was different.
We asked him after the game what he was going to do next week. He danced around it a little bit, said he'd decide later, made some comment about how they were going to get a lot of good work going up against each other during the week.
He loves practice.
But I interpret that as, if I had to set the odds, I would think that next week's going to look a lot like this week.
I agree.
And, he did say that they will game plan this week as though it were a real game. To me, I interpret that, if we're reading between the lines, as the backups who are going to play against the Bills are going to game plan for the Bills, and the other guys are going to game plan for the game that matters in a couple weeks.
Right, I agree.
So,
did he do that last year?
I believe.
They spent a week ahead.
Right. And for those who care about such things, the Bears are going to have a walkthrough on Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is going to be their regular season schedule.
Game week, yes.
So they're going to treat Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday as though it were a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because the game gets moved up. That means the meetings are at the same time as regular season, practices at the same time, interviews with us are at the same time, all that sort of thing. So we're getting closer, Potsy.
It's the right approach. Sorry to interrupt. It's the right approach. The question is the same as always. How good is this team?
Right.
That's what is concerning.
Mm-hmm.
How good is this team, and how good is the rest of the league? Mm-hmm. I think it's a real look. It's looking to me like a really mediocre league with a lot of good teams at the top, a few good teams at the top, and a lot of winnable games for a lot of teams.
This team won all three regular preseason games last year. Then they won two of their first three regular season games.
Yeah.
The question of how good is this team can produce a lot of false positives at this time of year.
Yep.
So that is something to consider as well. Potsy, any other takeaways? I won't make you hand out the game balls because I know you didn't bring them all the way from Illinois. Anything else stand out to you?
No, if I got to pick at it and then just overanalyze it, I think the two defensive tackles, Pickens and Dexter,
yep,
showed progress against, I don't even know who they were, I mean, you know, literally don't know who they were playing against. But I thought, again,
a starting offensive line of Skipper, Hambright, Pinter, O'Donnell, yeah, and yeah, Freeland, if you're keeping score.
But again, you're talking about two really talented guys. So that's, talent is a constant. And so I think there's a better chance that that they're going to be able to respond to the better opponent they face. And if they, yeah, that was a positive. I thought they were both good. And other than that, no. No other thoughts, actually. Just can't, you know, the main thing is same as it's been for a while. This gets them a day closer to the start of the season.
Cairo Santos made a 50-yard field goal. I think that's noteworthy. I'd also tell you that when the Bears sitting five different wide receivers today, that was their two healthy starters plus Claypool.
Claypool. That was. Yeah. I thought that was one of the most significant things. Yeah.
He did some running. And
he looked good. Yeah, he looked like he was, you know, unaffected.
And Eberflus said Saturday night that they expect some of their guys who are close to be back on Monday. We'll see whether Claypool is among them. He looked pretty good. Valus Jones and Tyler Scott both missed, I think, a pretty good opportunity to play. Is there any fear? And then I'll get you out of here, Potsy. If you are Equanimeous St. Brown, and if you were asked to start this game, is there any fear he doesn't make the team?
No, I don't have any fear. I think he absolutely will make the team. He's their kind of guy. He knows this offense. He blocks well. He does a lot of things well. I think he's the kind of. I think they feel like he's almost like a safety valve, you know, where they can plug him in situations like this, and he will. He gives them a baseline.
Actually, I lied to you. I'll give you one more. When we talk about Tyson Bagent going out and putting good stuff on tape, typically you don't want your rookies to do that because that means if you cut them, somebody in the league might go pounce.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty rare occurrence with quarterbacks just because you have to go learn a new playbook and you have to go become entrenched. Is there any chance that we look back on Bagent playing the second quarter and marching the team down the field and scoring a touchdown as bad for the Bears because it put some audition tape out there that would entice another team?
I don't think there's any chance.
Okay.
I think there is a slight chance, but I don't think that's. I'll tell you, my experience in preseason training camp is to worry that, oh, will this guy get through waivers, and then nobody gets him. You know, I overrate the guys I'm watching more often than not. So
shockingly, your average player the Bears cut isn't coveted by the rest of the league.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been better lately, but right, in general, that's my just almost like a bias that you pick up by seeing a guy and thinking, oh, everybody sees. Yeah, I mean, to somebody else looking outside, he looks probably just like just another guy.
Right.
The Bears are in a situation with their backup that all of a sudden, because he looks like he looks comfortable, it might make him look better than he actually is.
So. And there's the pedigree issue too, where GMs don't want to bet on a Division II player probably because that's typically a bad bet. I don't think there'd been one. There hasn't been a quarterback drafted from D2 since like 1979. So
well, quarterback is an interesting situation, interesting position, and you know somebody might see some kind of something or whatever, and say, hey, you know, this guy in the right situation, and somebody might have more of a better situation at the front that they can afford to stash this guy and teach him and learn him and let him learn in their system and be better. You never know, somebody's like that. I mean, who knows? But anyway, one thing I did want to mention that I think when you were talking about injuries and all the injured players, the biggest thing I feel like we're going to see besides who plays in the last preseason game is they've had a lot of injured players that we're supposed to not be worrying about. Let's see how many. I'm serious.
I like the way you phrase it. Yeah.
Let's see how many of these guys end up playing week one. Because Eberflus has said, I'm not going to tell you what happened or even discuss injuries unless it's long term.
I don't have to tell you what happened.
Well, yes. Right. But I think we have gotten to it without even stating it, an understanding of long term meaning, will he be ready for the first game? I think that's what we said. So let's see how many of these guys, because that is key. Tremaine Edmonds, you know, Claypool, Well, DeMarcus Walker, I guess, is back.
DeMarcus Walker, we still haven't seen.
Brisker? Brisker is huge.
Eddie Jackson, we haven't seen Yannick Ngakoue.
Let's see how many. Besides who plays next week, I think the biggest thing, maybe even the biggest thing, is how many of the injured guys, because they are a big, half the defense, how many of these guys will end up playing and be healthy for week one? And that will give us an idea of just how well Eberflus is playing.
And I think that's a good indicator of how trustworthy Eberflus should be considered, too.
That's my point. Yeah,
yes. So there'll be a lot to watch for here in the next couple of weeks. The Bears and the rest of the NFL will start cutting dudes on August 29th. That is a week from Tuesday. Yeah. And then we will inch even closer. Potsy, people can follow us on social media. Do you still call Twitter, or is it X?
Yeah, I call it Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Twitter/X. You can check us out on the Sun-Times website. I always say the app is great, Potsy, and I'll repeat that. Or please pick up a newspaper if you live in Chicago. Until then, he's Mark Potash. Jason Leisure is far afield, and I am Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again really soon.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.